Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay? What's up, folks
hey.
Out there?
What's up?
And not much, man. Just a Sunday evening, typical day in the office of Sports Urban Legend. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know, if you guys want to get your voices heard, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to tip off with the NBA Finals that just ended on Thursday. Heat went back-to-back. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about this week in baseball for both New York teams, the Mets and the Yankees. We'll go more into depth afterwards. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, the NFL, you know, and the Aaron Hernandez saga. And lastly, you know, we're going to talk a little sports entertainment, talk a little WWE, and, you know, basically leave it up to you guys to call in and, you know, get your voices heard. And, of course, you know, we're going to also talk about, Alan Vigneault, who replaced Don Tortorella as the Rangers' 35th head coach in history. We'll talk about that also. But, folks, again, the number is 917-388-4189. 917-388-4189. And with that, let's lead off with the Heat. You know, you can't beat the Heat. And with this weather outside in New York, man, you could tell, man. Yeah, man, the Heat, they went back-to-back. They won the last two NBA championship and their third ever overall.
Yep.
And as much as me and you hate, you know, the Heat and the Spurs, you know, we gotta, you know, tip our hat to LeBron James. You know, he literally carried the team.
Yeah, he had a great performance, especially in that comeback in Game 6. You know, he had a great performance in that game, and he deserves to be named NBA Finals MVP.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He deserves a second championship.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, he won the NBA MVP. He won the NBA MVP this year and last year.
Yeah.
You know, in the regular season and in the postseason, so.
The Heat, they were the best team. You know, they had the best record. They went on that 27 game winning streak during the year.
Second all time.
You know, so they deserve it. You know, I picked them to win, and you know, they did what they did. They had to do, and they won the championship like everyone predicted they would.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So yeah, basically, I knew the game. I had a feeling this series would go seven, but you know, I thought Spurs with their with their experience. You know, I thought they would be able to, you know, will themselves to another championship. But, you know, the you got LeBron James, who's arguably the best player in the game. I don't even think it's an argument, basically. He is the best guy in the game right now. And the youth, even though Dwayne Wade is, he's playing like an old man right now. I mean, he had some, you know, great games in the series, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, with the injuries, the guy's injury prone. And Chris Bosh, you know, he's overrated, but he had some huge stops, you know, in the series. So,
yeah, he had those key block shots in that comeback win, you know, blocking Green twice, I think. You know, so he played a critical role in the last few games of that series.
Yep.
And, you know, Dwayne Wade stepped up when he had to. I mean, he's a warrior, kind of. You know, he's played injured, and
he
got his third ring. You know, of his NBA career, so I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but, you know, probably has a few more years left in him. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, he has the option to opt out, I think, after next year. But with his horrible, you know, health, you know, he ain't opting out. And plus, I mean, he's a loyal Heat. You know, he's Heat for life. So I don't see him opting out for monetary reason and out of loyalty.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not going anywhere.
Yep. I agree with you. He's going to be retire as a Miami Heat player, so.
Yeah. Arguably, yeah, definitely about that. But I could definitely see LeBron, you know, if they lose next year, you know, I could clearly see him leaving, you know, to go back to Cleveland and try to, you know, fix his image over there. I could definitely, but if they win three in a row, I think you could throw that out the window.
Yeah.
But you know, kudos to them. You know, the Spurs, man, they were up Game 6. You know, like I said, they were my pick throughout the series to beat the Heat in seven. But after I saw Game 6, man, how you know whatchamacallit, you know how the Spurs, it was, you know. It was basically watching, like, an Undertaker match at WrestleMania. It's like they gave it everything they got, you know, but they just couldn't beat, you know, the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I mean, that was Spurs game to win in Game 6. And, I mean, Ginobili, he had a bad series, man. He didn't play good at all. He cost them that championship.
Shoot. And they took out Duncan in you know late in the game six. I mean, come on, this guy, that's your warrior right there.
Yeah, Popovich did not do a good coaching job as far as letting, you know, putting Duncan on the bench when he needed to be out on the floor. That was not a great move.
Exactly. You needed Duncan's presence out there. You know, the Spurs were up by four with like 27 seconds left into the game. And, you know, basically, you know, the passionate diehard Heat fans, they you know, they threw in the towel and basically, you know, was heading back to the beach to get a tan or something in the evening. So basically, you know, once they left and then they heard the game is tied, you know, they try to come back, and it was too late. They couldn't come back. I mean, normally, you know, I usually side with the fans, you know, to, you know, for them to, you know, not to be mistreated, you know, for them to, you know, they paid their tickets, they should come back. Not in this chance. Not only did they have a NBA game where they paid their money to go see it. This is the NBA Finals, man. Win or lose or draw. Well, obviously there's no draw, but you got to stick with your team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Heat fans are retarded. They're bandwagon fans.
They are bandwagon fans. We said that ever since the decision. I mean,
yeah.
That's why it baffled me that, you know, LeBron would have signed, you know, with the Heat, because Dwayne Wade was the guy on the team. And plus, the Heat fans, I mean, they're not passionate fans. You know, they only care about, you know, getting, you know, sunscreen and, you know, playing with beach balls all the time. I mean, come on.
Clubbing,
hey,
partying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was going to go, but, hey, little did I know. I mean, it was a smart decision because, hey, you know, he won back-to-back championships after losing in the NBA Finals the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to the NBA Finals 2-3 years in a row and won the last two championships. So,
yeah.
I mean, as much as I, you know, like I said in the beginning that, you know, he basically, you know, bought his way into getting a championship. It worked. He won two championships in a row, you know.
Yeah,
Can't say nothing about it, you know. He did what he had to do.
Exactly. I mean, hey. He's got two championships now in his career, you know. And like I was saying yesterday, you know, gotta stop the Jordan comparisons. He's not near Jordan's level yet.
He's not Jordan, man. He gotta try to get himself to Duncan and Kobe's level, try to win four and five championships respectively. So you know,
yeah.
Which didn't you hear, like, after the game he was like, not one but two, not three, not four, not five? I'm assuming he's talking about championships that he expects to win, I suppose.
Mm. Well,
I don't know if
you caught it's possible, but I don't know if that's gonna happen, especially if Dwayne Wade, you know,
yeah,
injured all the time.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. They could win it next year, depending on what happens. But I don't see them winning four in a row.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
Three in a row. I mean, you know, I didn't think they were gonna win this. I didn't think they were going to win this series with the Spurs, but, you know, hey, they got a chance. And look out for the Pacers, man. I took them lightly. I knew they were a good, you know, defensive team, but I didn't think they were going to be a championship-caliber team. But, you know, that's a team they'll be worried about. And you got Chicago, which they should have a healthy Derrick Rose, unless if he wants to play baseball and then come back a year later. Back
yeah.
to the Bulls. Other than that, I mean, you know, that's another team you got to worry about too. I mean, without Derrick Rose and some of their Warriors, you know, injured, you know, parts of the year, you know, they played with grit. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's another team you got to worry about. Shoot, I'm not even putting the Knicks in there because, you know, they let me down, man. They just can't talk the talk. They got to walk the walk, man. They gotta really, you know, be, you know, consistent on the defensive end. And, I mean, even though they did play good defense for the most part in the playoffs, but, I mean, their shooting was erratic.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do this offseason.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, work to do, our former GM and head coach, of course I'm talking about Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, as great as a player he was with the Pistons, that's obviously how horrible he is as a, you know, NBA executive with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ask him. Apparently, a few days ago on NBA TV, he said, had the Knicks kept, you know, those terrific Knicks teams that probably only went to the playoffs once or twice during his reign and got swept by the Nets in 04, he was saying if the Knicks would have kept the guys he signed and overpaid, they would have been contending for a championship this year.
Man, please.
I mean, this guy, I don't know what bizarre world he's living in, because those guys couldn't even win a playoff game under his leadership, if you want to call it leadership.
Man, that's a bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry.
It's total BS. I mean, anybody could clearly see this guy. I mean, other than, you know, Dolan, I mean, anybody else could clearly see that, you know. I mean, those teams were not going anywhere.
Man.
I mean, they were a total embarrassment. That was obviously the worst era in Knicks history.
He barely made the playoffs when he was coaching / he was an executive with the Knicks. I mean, he barely went anywhere. Come on.
Exactly. The only thing he did was overpay guys. And the highlight of his being a Knick, GM to me was when he gave he overpaid Jerome James. And 1 year, it might have been Jerome James last year, he gave him a $5 million contract, and the guy only played, 5 minutes the entire season. That's $1 million a minute, folks.
That's messed up.
I'm not a rocket scientist, but come on. If a guy is getting paid $5 million and he only plays 5 minutes in an 82-game season, I mean that's a ripoff.
I would have took that contract for 5 minutes.
Don't get me wrong. I'd sign that contract too. But come on, I mean, that's just, my goodness. I'm speechless. This was just like, what was that, like 4 years ago? And I'm still dumbfounded by it.
Man, that was a horrible move.
Oh man. But let's switch gears with the Mets. Let's talk about the Mets here. I mean, you know, after, you know, the Mets swept the Yankees, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, I thought that was, you know, you and me thought that was the World Series for the Mets.
Well, you did.
Shoot, I thought you were going to go to the parade and everything. But any case, after that, they got, you know, their butts, you know, whooped by the Marlins and all these other teams. But in this week, you know, wake up the Mets, man, and break them up, because in Turner Field, a place, you know, that's a field of horrors for the Mets. I mean, they won 3 out of 5, and highlighted was Tuesday night, which was Super Tuesday. They had a doubleheader. They had Matt Harvey, you know, winning his 6th game in the day game, and afterwards you had Zach Wheeler making his major league debut. And, you know, he was pretty good, pretty darn good, man. I mean, if that's a little taste of the Mets' future, you know, sign me in. I'm down for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this series, after that series, they won 3 out of 5, to the Braves, they came. They played the Phillies this series. I'm trying to remember what happened. They won 2 out of 3 in that series. Can't remember what happened Friday night for some reason. Saturday they lost on a, they were trailing like 7-0 or so. Dylan G didn't have it. I mean, he was coming off his outing where he pitched great, but he had a complete game loss when someone on the Braves hit a 2-run home run. I don't think it was. I don't think it was Freddie Freeman. I can't. It could have been. My memory escapes me for a moment. So Dylan G was trying to rebound from the complete game loss where he lost 2-1 because he tried to get a complete game, but he gave up the walk off 2-run home run with one out in the 9th. So basically, he gave up 7 runs last night. And but the Mets offense, you know, woke up. They tied the game, but then Franzen on the Phillies, hit a walk-off home run in the ninth off Torres, and they lost that game. And then today, Matt Harvey pitched a very good game. You know, he went six innings, six strikeouts, you know, and he basically became the first pitcher in Mets history to win two series at at Citizens Bank Park.
Wow.
And the Mets was, you know, hitting like nine extra base hits today. David Wright hit a ball, man. You'd have to see the replays. One-handed. He hit a ball that looked like a check swing, and it went out six rows, you know, over the wall.
Wow.
I mean, you'd have to see this ball. If you saw this ball, you'd probably crack up laughing, because there's no way how he hit that ball. That ball looked like an easy fly out or a pop-up in the infield, but yet that ball went out.
Wow.
But, you know, it was a good one for the Mets. Mets won. Final score 8-0. So now Tuesday, you know, Wheeler's going to pitch his second game, and they're going to face the Chicago White Sox for two games, which is pretty weird because normally Yankees is the only team in interleague that Mets play twice. But, I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, I think Mets are going to play five games against them this year, because I think they played three in Citi Field, and now they're playing two in Chicago. So that's a weird
wow.
series right there.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, they're a National League team, though. I mean,
no, White Sox. They're playing White Sox.
Oh, I thought you meant Cubs. Okay.
Yeah, that's why when I heard Mets was playing Cubs, I mean, Mets was playing in Chicago, you know, today, I'm thinking, you know, starting Tuesday, I'm thinking it's the Cubs. But then I hear it's White Sox. I'm like, what? We're playing them twice this year? That never happened. I mean, other than Yankees, you know, we don't play teams, you know, the same
right.
interleague team twice.
Well, it's only four games, though.
I think it's two. It might have been two or five. It might be four or five, because I think we might have played two or three games in Citi Field, and then
okay.
we're playing two here. It's kind of weird, but oh well.
Yeah, it's not the traditional six-game series that, you know,
yeah,
we've had in the past.
Exactly. But the weird thing about it is that, you know, Yankees, you know, usually play six, like you said, but now they're playing four, and now the Mets are playing the White Sox for four or five games in the season, and we're not the Cubs. I mean, you would assume we were the Cubs if we're
yeah.
playing them, you know, like five or six games in this season. So
strange.
Yeah, strange. They're really ruining baseball.
Yeah,
making an interleague every single day.
Very strange.
But switching gears. We're talking about changes in baseball, but some things never change. And, of course, you can't beat that. All-timers game at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it was, Yankees had their 67th annual all-timers game at Yankee Stadium. Saw the greats, Reggie Jackson, Yogi Berra.
Whitey Ford.
Whitey Ford. Was Whitey Ford there? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I saw
footage of him being there.
Ricky Henderson, El Duque was there, you know.
Yeah, you told me El Duque was there.
He pitched, I think he pitched an inning or two. He looks like he still pitched right now, you know, if you put him on the mound. But
he still got the leg kick.
Yeah, still has the leg. It's not as high as it used to be, but still has that patent leg kick, you know.
Oh, man.
And it's always great to see these old-timers come back and, you know, play and have fun. And, you know, it's great for fans, you know, and it's great for the organization. Yankees are the only team that does it. I mean, I wish more teams in baseball would do it, but, you know,
and
I guess.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, man. I mean, I wish the Mets would still do that. I mean, Mets used to do that a long time ago. They even had old teams from, like, the National League and the American League with legends like, you know, DiMaggio and what's his name, Ralph Kiner, all these legendary players. You know, Willie Mays, they played, you know, in the old-timer games, whether they were Mets or not.
Right.
I mean, I think Mets should have 86 team face the 69 team.
Yeah.
Or just any era, you know. It would have been nice.
But, you know, I guess these teams can't afford it. You know, Yankees are the only team that can afford it. And, you know, it's a great thing to see. And after the Old Timers game, Yankees played the final game of this four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. It started on Thursday after the Dodgers series that we split with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Thursday night, we lost the game. We lost the game 8-3, and he petted in pitch well. He's been pitching really bad lately. You know, hopefully he can bounce back and pitch well down the stretch. On Friday, Yankees prospect rookie, I can't pronounce his name. Zorilli Almonte.
Oh, yeah, Almonte, yeah. no relation to Danny, I assume, right?
No relation to Danny Almonte. And Yankees blowed him up, and he played great. He hit 3-for-4, and he helped the Yankees to a 6-2 victory over the Rays on Friday night. So that was a good game for him. And yesterday,
Sabathia,
we had a 3-2 lead, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him a grand slam in a 7th inning. And Rays went ahead 5-2 all of a sudden. And we were down 2 runs entering the 8th. But we managed to come back with Vernon Wells coming off the bench. And he's been slumping lately. And he managed to get a bases clearing double that helped us. The lead went up to 6-5 by then, and we managed to get one more run, and we ended up winning that game yesterday 7-5. So that was a great comeback win for us. But got to see Sabathia pitch well as well. He's been inconsistent this season. So, and today, the kid Chris Archer for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's going to be a great pitcher. This guy has some ace-like dominant stuff.
Mm.
I mean, you Mets fans are talking about how good Matt Harvey looks like, how good Matt Harvey is, but this guy, Chris Archer, he's going to be one of the top pitchers in baseball. This guy has some dominant stuff, and today Yankees couldn't really do much against him, and we ended up losing the game 3-1. Ivanova, Yankees brought him back up, and he pitched good for the most part, but he didn't get any offense today, so he ended up losing the game. So we ended up splitting the series 2-2 with the Rays. And you know, right now we're about 3 games back of the Red Sox in the American League East, so you know, hopefully we can bounce back and recover from this. And I don't know who our next opponent is, but whoever it is, Yankees, they have to get their offense back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head on basically everything. I mean, and CC Sabathia, man, that's your go-to guy. You know, he got to step up. I mean, I know you're going to have some bad days, but
yeah.
Luckily for him, you know, the Yankees offense, you know, bailed him out, so
yeah.
Worth watching. And let me see what else. Oh yeah, the Rangers, you know, they signed Alan Vigneault, the former Canucks coach. And, you know, basically, you know, he's gonna make the team, you know, be more aggressive on the offense. And instead of, you know, being, you know, very conservative with, you know, when they were with Tortorella, who also happens to be, I think he was named recently the head coach of the Canucks. So basically, it's like a trade between both teams.
Wow.
You know, because both coaches switch places, basically.
Right.
So hopefully, he'll have as much success, you know, he had with the Canucks that, you know, he'll have it with, you know, of course, with the Rangers, and hopefully lead Rangers to their first title since 1994.
Yeah. Come on. It's been a while now, man. Rangers came close last year. The damn Devils eliminated.
Yep.
And this year we got eliminated by the Bruins, right?
The Bruins, right. I think the Blackhawks are leading the series 3-2.
Yeah, they are.
So
they're gonna win the Stanley Cup. They've been the best team in hockey all year.
Yeah, they deserve it. And let's switch to NBA. No, not NBA. NFL quickly. the Aaron Hernandez story. I mean, I don't know much about the story, but it don't look right. You know, it looks like Aaron Hernandez knows something about the death of his girlfriend's sister's boyfriend, some relationship. And apparently his phones got, I think, broken, or he bleached stuff in his house. He did a lot of stuff to conceal the evidence. So
yeah, there's a lot of suspicious stuff there. A lot of suspicious.
That don't look right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these football players are criminals anyway. So you know,
yeah, you really
I think he did have something to do with it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he did have something to do with it. I mean, you wouldn't go through all this stuff, you know, if you didn't know anything. So
yeah, I mean, he gave authorities a broken phone. He had his carpet and his house cleaned, and his surveillance system is broken now all of a sudden.
That is
like,
crazy.
Come on.
There's something wrong with that. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, I guess, since he's a player, you know, very rich, you know, he think he could get away with murder. But, you know, that's just, man, there's nothing I can say about that.
Yeah,
hopefully
man.
Justice gets served.
We need Belichick's spy gate to find out what happened.
Oh, man. How can I even segue out of that? I guess I will. Yeah, you're going to need Spygate to, investigate the Raw. Monday Night Raw actually had a great episode. I mean, they haven't had a great episode since, the Raw after WrestleMania. And I think that this Raw even out-topped it.
Yeah, it was a great Raw. I mean,
yeah, Mark Henry faking a retirement. I mean, this dude deserves an Oscar. I mean, folks, you should check that video out. I mean, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you know,
mm-hmm.
You should check out that video, because he really had me going. I mean, he was, you know, crying. You know, he was out of character. You know, he was talking about his family. You know, cracking jokes with the fans, even though he's supposed to be a bad guy.
Yep.
He showed a different side to him that he never showed, you know, in his nearly 20 years in the business.
Yeah, I was fooled also. I thought he was retiring for real.
Yeah. But I guess that's what he do. So, you know, he pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes.
Yep.
That was easily the biggest moment he had on Raw, and his biggest moment since winning the Raw Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, I would say so. And now he's going to challenge John Cena for the WWE Championship.
Yeah, World Heavyweight Championship. I assume Cena's going to retain it because, I mean, Cena basically retains it against everybody.
Yeah.
But I hope somewhere down the line, Mark Henry will get his WWE Championship. And what else happened? Was it Raw? No, actually it was SmackDown I'm thinking of. So the last SmackDown, not this one SmackDown, Daniel Bryan actually defeated The Shield.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that was a great match.
That was last SmackDown, wasn't it?
Yeah, last SmackDown, not this one. Not the one that just passed a few days ago.
Right.
I'm trying to remember what else happened. There was a lot of great moments. I'm trying to...
CM Punk came back.
Yes, thank you. CM Punk came back as a good guy, and he got he officially broke up with Paul Heyman as his manager.
Yep.
So basically, Brock Lesnar basically came into the ring and... you know, F5'd CM Punk, which, you know, is Brock Lesnar's finishing move, for people who don't know. And that was the first, they were both, you know, Paul Heyman clients or Paul Heyman guys. And as you could clearly see, Heyman is no longer CM Punk's manager anymore. So that should most likely kick their feud, which most likely is going to take place at SummerSlam. And other big news, what you want to call it, RVD, a former ECW and WWE champion,
he's back.
He's gonna be back at the Money in the Bank, which is the next month's pay per view event. And you know, basically one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. You know, a high flyer, extreme. You know, one of the most extreme wrestlers of all time. He returns.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Oh yeah, definitely. And he's, you know, he's different from the typical wrestlers, you know, before that, you know, back in the days, you know, you had a bunch of Hogan, you know, type wrestlers who, you know, basically yell and, you know, say, I'm going to kick your butt and all that stuff. But he had like this, you know, cool, you know, like, you know, he don't take nothing seriously. Really. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, he's
chill back. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, a uniqueness, you know, to his, you know, to his character that, you know, wrestlers at that, up until that point, never had that.
Yep.
And let me see, what else happened? I paid back, trying to remember. Dolph Ziggler, he lost the title, the World Heavyweight title, which led Del Rio to turn into a heel and super kick Ziggler, which, you know, Ziggler had a concussion a few months ago. So basically, you know, Ziggler turned into a good guy, and Del Rio is now a bad guy.
Wow.
So it's kind of like what happened in WrestleMania 13. Stone Cold was the bad guy, Bret Hart was the good guy. By the end of the match, they switched sides.
Right.
So that's basically what happened at Payback. And, of course, as we all expected, John Cena, you know, defeated Ryback. But apparently he, in the ambulance match, attitude adjustment right back through the top of the ambulance. I mean, that would have been awesome to see.
Wow.
But as we expected, John Cena, you know, won. And there's rumors that Cena's going to fight against Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam.
That would be a good match. That's a match I would want to see.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, I think Cena would win, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, I think so too. And as we all know, he'll most likely beat Mark Henry.
Yeah. Maybe. I can see Mark Henry winning.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, he looks like he's getting the push, you know, a surprising push right now with him, you know, attacking John Cena. We don't think he's going to be retired.
Right.
And he actually acknowledged that's the only time he had. And of course, Macaulay Matthews. We'll be back here next week. And I want to thank you all for listening.